Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
The first of the three readings appointed for this Reformation Sunday is recorded in the Old Testament book, actually in the book of Revelation. This is the final book of Scripture, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle this day is recorded in Romans, the third chapter, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the singing of the Alleluia in verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to say right up front, I want to credit the historical research that was done by Pastor Mark Lace. A lot of that was used in today's message. You'll find the text for today on the front of your worship folder. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 is our sermon text and reads, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." Planning, such an important part of our lives. I know that it's this time of the year that some of our boards dread having one more meeting for that strategic ministry planning report that they put together as they look at their future work and the future work of our congregation here in this place. We also, in our personal lives, make all kinds of plans, preparing ourselves for future challenges. But many times, planning can seem counterproductive. And generally, there are two things that can easily change our plans. Unfortunately, one of those things that can change our plans is human sin. Sinful world, our sinful flesh can break our plans into pieces, interrupt them, and even corrupt our plans. The second thing that can change our plans, however, is the gracious hand of God. God has a way at times of changing our plans and even working through them, those unexpected hardships in our lives, to bring about His ultimate plan of the salvation He has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. Today we're going to take a moment to look back in history at one of the most important saints, I would say, of our church body, and learn from him something about our own lives in relationship to our God. His full name is Carl Ferdinand Wilhelm Walther. And he was born October 25th, 1811, which makes his birthday this past Tuesday a 200th anniversary celebration. And so today we celebrate how God worked in the life of this sinner saint to bring about his great blessing, to unfold for us the great plan that he had for the planting of the church that we know today as the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. For many heroes of the Christian faith, their lives did not turn out as they had planned. And such is the case of C.F.W. Walther. Just like the Proverbs says, he made plans for his own future, but it was the Lord who established his steps. And not always according to Walther's will. It is how the hand of God worked in his life that elevates him really to a place of honor in our worship today. So today we take some time to hear about the remarkable life of this man, at least a glimpse anyway, of how God worked through him in some amazing ways that helped shape who we are as a church today. Born in a small village in Germany, Walther followed in the footsteps of both his father and a brother who also had been pastors. As a student, Walther, along with his brother and father, were disturbed by the heresies being taught in the movements of rationalism and the Enlightenment, and how it was taking away from the salvation that is ours freely as a gift through Jesus Christ. These teachings were actually watering down the doctrines that they had treasured all their lives. The Lutherans he was studying with, that was in communion with him and his father and his brother, held to the traditional teachings of the confessions of the Reformation. These Lutherans were all from an area called Saxony, an area from which Luther had hailed himself. They had believed that these confessions that had developed during the time of the Reformation are the most faithful explanation of the Christian faith, and that they centered in on the pure gospel teaching of salvation alone through grace in all that Christ Jesus had done. See, the government in Germany created an environment that threatened these Lutherans, Saxons. They began to suffer persecution because they wanted to hold fast to the teachings of their faith and not combine with other churches throughout the state. Soon they were convinced that the only way that they could hold on to this true doctrine and to enjoy religious freedom was to come to America. So there was about 800 of them that boarded onto 5 ships and headed here for this land. Along with several other pastors, Walther was one of those who made this journey, along with a charismatic pastor by the name of Stefan. They left for America in the winter of 1838, and they arrived a few months later in 1839. And although one of those ships was lost at sea, the remaining ships made it into New Orleans. And then eventually they made their way up the Mississippi River to a part of our country that looked similar to the land that they came from, called Perry County, Missouri. And once they arrived, Pastor Stefan was granted absolute authority, and he declared himself the bishop. You know, there's that saying that goes, power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, so was the case of Pastor Stefan, who would eventually be found of improprieties with some of the women folk, and he was shipped across the river to Illinois. The immigrants were shocked and dismayed and very much heartbroken that a pastor could do such things. Their great undertaking, all those plans that they made of bringing Lutheranism over to America and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, seemed to be a big failure now. Their hopes had been shattered. What these immigrants were going through is what we all go through at times in our lives too, which is a crisis of faith. God was there watching the whole time as they made their plans and as they failed. Some began to wonder if God was even still with them. Some began to question if they were even a Christian community at this point. Now that their spiritual leader had been sent away, had they rejected God's leadership altogether? Could they even be considered a church anymore? Well, that became the debate. They began to argue among themselves. And this community of Lutheran German immigrants wondered what was going on, and now their faith was shaken to the core, and this was going on for a couple of years. Many of them tried to convince the entire group that what had happened was a sign of God, that we need to return to our homeland because we're no longer a church here. We need to get reconnected back in our fatherland, in Germany, back to the Orthodox Lutheranism that we're so fond of. You know, there are times when we are led to follow schemes of man, to follow our own grand plan for future success. And we may be led by faith or duty, vanity or pride. You know, we hope for something big and grand. And regardless of the motivation, when we fail and our plans fall apart, we, like the Saxon immigrants, may experience in our lives a crisis of faith. We plan for this great and glorious future, but then we find that sin wreaks havoc on us and our lives and plans fall apart and get swept away. We mess up. Leaders disappoint us. Doubts and fears can take control. A crisis of faith sets in. Perhaps you've experienced this crisis of faith when things took a turn for the worst in your life. We are shaken. Maybe someone whom you counted on was now found to be flawed and fallible. Maybe there was a pastor in your past that let you down. And both you and that pastor, they know what he's done. A teacher may have been dismissed from their positions due to improprieties, and what they've done becomes a public embarrassment for family, for church. Plans change and fall apart. A husband or a wife leaves the other. That's what sin does. It plants seeds of doubt and wonder about whether or not God is really still with us, whether anything that we've heard or anything that we believed is true. We have maybe even wondered at times if we ourselves are truly Christian, whether God can even love me anymore because of some of the things I've done, some of the things I've said. And yet, in those times, in that crisis of faith, God is still at work. Yes, many times God is doing His very best work and His very best planning when it seems like our lives have come to nothing. Isaiah 42:3 says, "A bruised reed He will not break, and a faintly burning wick He will not quench." It is when we feel like a bruised reed, or when it feels like we're going out, that we're being snuffed out, that God shows us just how much we need to depend upon His mercy and His grace. God wants to share an abundance of that with us who struggle in our planning, in our lives. We are not the people of God because we are smart. We are not the people of God because somehow we are perfect by what we do or consider ourselves pretty good people. In fact, being a child of God isn't about anything that you and I do at all. It's about what Christ did for us and how He continues to be at work in our lives, bringing before us through word and sacrament His death and His resurrection that free us from these lives of sin that have been shattered and have fallen apart. Well, it was at this point in history when these immigrants were debating whether or not they should go back to Germany that Walther steps up to the plate and he begins to debate those who felt so strongly about returning to Germany. Walther showed that even though sin and corruption were in their midst, so was the gospel of Jesus Christ in their midst. Therefore, Christ was there, continually creating and strengthening through the power of the Holy Spirit His church. Their existence didn't depend upon the authority of one who proclaimed himself as bishop. It doesn't matter if there's not a pastor among them. They are still church because of God's word and His work. And Walther reminded him of that, quoting the words from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you think your heart and your mind would not have been moved to hear God's word spoken to you as you were debating whether or not you were a church? Luther also had something to say about this matter. The church is recognized not by external peace, but by the word and the sacraments. For wherever you see a small group that has the true word and the sacraments, there the church is, if only the pulpit and the baptismal font are the only things that are pure. The church does not stand on the holiness of any one person, but solely on the holiness and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he has sanctified the church by word and sacrament. The Lutheran settlers had the word of God. They indeed recognized now by that word that they were Christians and that they were a church. Because of the mercy and the forgiveness offered through word and sacraments, they were still God's people, with or without a leader. In our crisis of faith, when our own sin or the sin of others ruins our plans, we too feel forsaken, not only by others, but it can go as far as feeling forsaken by God, that he would allow this to happen in my life. The gospel, however, breaks into our situation and it shines a light of forgiveness upon our lives. Once we have recognized indeed that God's word has shown us our need for that repentance, that gift of mercy. It proclaims the truth that Jesus died for us and he now gives us his Holy Spirit to show us how to now live as his people who are freed from this sin. As it said in one of our readings today, it is the truth that will set you free. And because of what Jesus has done for us, we have been set free. We still are Christians and we still are part of Christ's church, no matter what sins we have committed against God and each other. If we are still part of Christ's church, then we should be about the business of God. It was God's word that Walther shared with those first immigrants, and by that power of that word, they were filled with a renewed sense of God's gracious presence among them. They proclaimed the gospel, they shared the sacraments, made disciples, they started a seminary for training pastors. Walther began to publish a Lutheran magazine that was a bold voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Lutheran Church in America. And he became a pastor of a large congregation in South St. Louis. And you know what the name of that church is? Even to this day, Trinity. The congregations in Perry County grew in faith and in numbers. Other German immigrants came to other parts of our nations and they grew in numbers. And before long, all of these churches from Germany and especially from the area of Saxony joined together to form what we know today as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Walther was elected as the first president of this new church body. And he told the new church body in his first address as president, this young man, "Even though we possess no power but that of the word, we nevertheless can and should carry on our work joyfully. Even though it should seem to be in vain, it cannot then be in vain, for the word does not return void, but prospers in the things whereto the Lord sent it. By the word alone, without any other power, the church was founded. By the word alone, all the great deeds recorded in church history were accomplished. By the word alone, the church will most assuredly stand also in these days of sore distress, to the very end of days. The small church body that eventually changed its name to the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, experienced tremendous growth throughout the 1800s. And Walther died in 1887. And the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, was the largest Lutheran church body in America at that time. To this day, Walther's legacy is the way that he had led the church to be founded on the authority of the Word of God, faithful to the Lutheran confessions and boldly confessing and professing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm going to put in a little plug here. We are actually going to study the earlier history of our church body in the adult Bible class, especially looking again at the life of Walther, and there'll be a lot more detail there that will connect us to the first immigrants that came to this country. So be sure to come to class and learn more. When we gather around God's Word and His holy sacraments, Christ Himself is with us, and so are His gifts of forgiveness and salvation. We are His people, and He establishes our steps. He sends us out by the power of the Holy Spirit to be about the business of the church, to make disciples of all nations. God is in the works when it comes to our planning. In Jeremiah chapter 29:11, the Lord tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Life may not be turning out as we have planned, but we can be sure that life will turn out as God has planned for us. God's promise to be with us, to establish our steps according to His gracious plans. And today we praise God for the gift of His Word, and for the gift of the life of C.F.W. Walther, for the work of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our midst. May it ever be kept pure and holy among us. May the Lord strengthen you in your calling as He establishes your steps according to His good and gracious plan. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding, encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.